This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Next week, Tuesday, marks the 20th anniversary of the death of the man our next guest calls the last rock star.
Kurt Cobain changed the world around him. He influenced the fashion world, his band gave birth to the grunge era, and his struggle with addiction and fame influenced the people who knew his story and beyond.
Charles R. Cross joins us now. He's the author of the new book, Here We Are Now, The Lasting Impact of Kurt Cobain. Charles, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, as we said, next week, Tuesday, the 20th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's suicide. When you look back, what do you see as the most striking thing about his life and his influence?
Well, I think ultimately the reason we're talking about him 20 years after his death is those songs. The songs that he created with Nirvana, roughly 120 different titles or so, that ultimately is the reason that he matters. That music touched a generation. It has touched so many fans since Kurt even died. Nirvana sold 35 million albums, which is truly extraordinary numbers in terms of the rock world, especially given today in the digital download world. And not only that, those songs are great songs. They're important songs. And they often show up frequently at the very, very upper reaches of any critics list of some of the greatest songs ever made.
And some critics have even upgraded Nirvana from their original point of view. Rolling Stone is one.
Well, that's something I chronicle in this new book, and I found it almost kind of comical. When Nevermind first came out in 1991, Rolling Stone gave it 3 out of 5 stars. And since then, they have corrected that review, so to speak, without any notes. So if you go online on their website, you see that they are actually now giving that album 4 stars online. But that same 3-star album from 1991 was fairly recently by Rolling Stone's critics voted the 17th greatest album of all time. So clearly that to some degree kind of shows the rise in Kurt and Nirvana's reputation as these years go by. Usually bands fade as time goes by. With Nirvana, it's almost been the opposite. Their reputation has gone up.
Now, if you were one of those people touched by Nirvana and the music and the sentiments that they were singing about, you'll remember when Kurt Cobain died, when his death was announced and his suicide. Do you remember where you were, what your first thoughts were when you heard?
Well, I certainly do. I was one of the first people to even hear that a body had been discovered at Kurt's house, and I begin this book telling that tale of my life. I was editor of a magazine called The Rocket, which chronicled the Northwest music scene. We were the first magazine to ever put Kurt and Nirvana on the cover, and he'd even advertised in our magazine a number of times, and trying to look for drummers for the band as it was started out. So we were kind of the hometown paper, and I got a call from a radio station just like you guys, and they had gotten the tip before the police had even heard. An electrician had found a body at Kurt's house. They'd called the radio station, of all things, at the same time police were called. And the radio station called me and said, could it possibly be true? So I write in this book that at least for a brief period of time, I was one of only a few people who knew, as I call it, quote unquote, this horrible secret. And it was horrible. The fact that we lost this young man in his prime was just, it was the saddest day probably of my life so far, and certainly one of the most shocking in Seattle music history.
Kurt Cobain had a well-known problem with his own fame and the way he kind of processed it and dealt with it, and also the commodification of his music, of his art. And you can kind of hear that being played out in the songs that he sang, that Nirvana played. Let's listen to Nirvana's most famous song, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Charles, what do you hear in the lyrics there, listening back 20 years now?
Well, I certainly hear angst, and I hear depression, and I hear anger. What's interesting about that song nowadays is we sort of take it for granted that pop music covers those themes. But in the era before Nirvana and before Nevermind and Smells Like Teen Spirit, most of the hit pop songs were about girls and cars. You know, Nirvana kind of followed this awful era of hair metal bands, these heavy metal bands that did these awful ballads. And that was what was at the top of the charts. So this song not only was a powerful anthem, it also was something that kind of blew all that away. And that's another reason, frankly, that it's important.
And Kurt committed suicide. You talked about how you were one of the first people who found out. It was one of the saddest days of your life. And for lots of people, a lot of people heartbroken about that. He struggled with heroin addiction, among other things, problems with drugs. How was that suicide processed by the fans and those people in the addiction community?
Well, I also cite that in this book and kind of look at his suicide. It's one of the most famous suicides of modern times, and it was highly studied. Even myself, who wrote a 2001 biography of Kurt called Heavier Than Heaven, which tells the story of his life, I wasn't aware of how studied Kurt's suicide has been, because people are graduate students and they're becoming what they call suicidologists. And so there have been a couple of doctorate and dissertations done on Kurt Cobain's suicide. Plus, a lot of public health professionals wanted to look at this event because they wanted to see what they could learn from it and how we could essentially save lives of other people. What we found, ironically, is that Kurt's suicide, no matter how horrible it was and how tragic it was, the reporting of it and the fact that it was not glamorized, it was not romanticized at all, and of course the choice he took and how he took his own life was also pretty horrific. The suicide researchers think that the suicide rate went down in a number of places they studied in the immediate time after Kurt's death. So in an odd way, it did bring attention to suicide, and I think people got help. Sadly, that rate continues to go up in our society. It's an epidemic. If there's anything we can learn from his story, it's that if somebody is struggling, they need to reach out for help, but it's a normalization thing to go through these thoughts at times. But unfortunately, it's still one of the leading causes of death in our society.
Do we know with any certainty now why Kurt Cobain killed himself?
Well, being a biographer, I've had the chance to read through Kurt's journals and to sort of look at some of his inner life and to see some of the things that drove him and that he wrote about. I don't think we can ever definitively say, Kurt also suffered from some physical stomach ailments, and that was something I think that was with him forever. I think the ultimate answer is that if Kurt had actually gotten treatment for his depression and maybe his physical ailments, I think then his drug addiction, which was his attempt to kind of self-medicate those things, might have been more successful at fighting that, and maybe he would have had a greater chance. But remember, suicide was in his family. He had lost several other people in his family to suicide. There are even people that I cite in this book who believe that there may be a gene that predisposes someone to suicide. And if there is, Kurt Cobain certainly had that stacked against him.
And you could hear him again working out some of those issues, or at least expressing them in his songs. And as far as the struggle with drugs and what was going on inside his own head, Lithium is one of the songs that deals with that. Let's listen.
I'm so happy 'cause today found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, 'cause so are you.
And Charles, what do you think of Lithium? What comes to mind?
I love Lithium. It's the song that actually people thought maybe would be the biggest song off of Nevermind before Smells Like Teen Spirit took off. But that song, as far as we know, Kurt never actually took Lithium, and he never actually was properly diagnosed or treated for depression, unfortunately. But I do completely agree with you that within his lyrics, he was working out some of that psychological pain that he had. Ultimately, though, that I also think is the reason that he had his greatest gift. He took that inner pain and he put it in these lyrics and in these songs. And that's why people can relate to it, because these are very human emotions. We all go through these kind of struggles. Yet he was able to take that pain and create art out of it. And to me, that's the reason that I admire Kurt as an artist and as a musician.
You call Kurt Cobain the last rock star. Why do you say that?
It's funny, of everything in my book, that has been the most controversial thing. And I've had numerous rock critics and radio hosts, you know, want to argue that point and say that Kanye West or, Jay-Z, they deserve that mantle. But I don't think anybody that we've had in 20 years has had exactly that combination of charisma and what I was referring to here, the songwriting genius that Kurt had within those lyrics. That's why we matter. That's why he mattered. That's why we care about him. We haven't seen that in one star in the last 20 years. And with the technological changes that make, the vine of music something that even the biggest star today will sell one-tenth of what Nirvana did in the year they were hot, I think the chances of us even having another star like that again are less likely than they've been for a while. I hope there is. I hope there's another great rock star, because as a fan of music, I want more voices like that. But at this point, Kurt is one of the last of the rock greats.
Now, we talked about how he had this incredible ambivalency about his fame, and he was worried about being authentic and worried about selling out. And I remember reading in his suicide, some of his writings prior to his suicide, worries about his daughter kind of becoming a phony and selling out herself, and it made him sad. So who knows if he'd be singing now? Who knows if he'd be in the music biz if he were still alive? But what do you think we've been missing out, these past 20 years without Kurt Cobain?
Well, we certainly missed all the music that he created. Kurt also was a very humorous guy and a very smart guy, and he used his mantle, his position at the top of rock, to speak out about a number of social issues. There has never been a rock star that was as strong a feminist as Kurt Cobain, or one that spoke out in favor of gay rights more than him. In fact, he did something truly extraordinary. Not only did he speak out about those issues, which many other rock stars still do and have done, he actually wrote liner notes that said, if you are a bigot and you're a homophobe, do not buy my albums. No rock star before or since has ever tried to self-select their audience and to say, don't even buy my music or come to my shows if you don't agree with my political beliefs. Kurt, of course, couldn't self-select his audience. He became a huge star nonetheless, and he had all kinds of people in his crowds. But the very fact that he did that is also something truly extraordinary about him.
Charles, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Charles R. Cross, the author of Here We Are Now, The Lasting Impact of Kurt Cobain.
Coming up, our next guest makes the case for abolishing the United States Air Force. We'll find out why after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.